This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, the Spotify podcast Erotica Taboo, and the E.P. Non-Erotic Podcast. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer bonus episodes for as little as $2 per month. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. The Major Diaries by J-Queen 9. Chapter 1. A Bossy Little Bitch. He looked at his students on the first day of class. There were so many beautiful girls. It was like a pussy buffet. John Major arrived at grad school with an attitude problem. He'd had 3 steady girlfriends in college, all of them cheated on him, and they did it in ways that humiliated him publicly. So he'd given up on exclusive relationships. He decided that in grad school he'd date lots of women, insist they sleep with him if they wanted to keep dating, and insist that every relationship was open. There was no chance of being humiliated if no one expected monogamy. In college, John had been primarily devoted to taking care of his girlfriends. That had to change. In grad school, he would primarily take care of himself. He devised a plan for sleeping with as many women as possible. As a new grad student majoring in French language and history, John was a teaching assistant. He taught a weekly workshop for freshman French 101. It wasn't a hard job. He had to lead the class in simple conversations in spoken French and assign short essays based on simple questions. There was no grading or preparing lesson plans. Faculty members handled all that. John wasn't allowed to date his students, of course. But teaching them gave him a unique way to find the best girls to pursue after the end of the semester, when he was no longer their teacher. He started by deciding which girls were hottest. Then, he assigned short essays based on questions he crafted to reveal the personality of each student. How do you feel about living away from home for the first time? What kind of friendships do you hope to make in college? What are the most important relationships in your life so far? The answers told John what he wanted to know. If a hot girl wrote that she wanted excitement and adventure, she remained on his list of prospects. If a hot girl said her most important relationships were her parents and God, he took her name off the list. If a hot girl said that after graduation she hoped to take a year touring Europe, that piqued John's interest. If a hot girl said she wanted to marry her boyfriend and become a wife and mother, John was no longer interested. As John removed names from his list, he made sure the girls got to know him, too. In college he'd worn clothes from discount stores and drove a beat-up car so people wouldn't know his family was rich. The charade didn't last a single semester because one of John's frat brothers did enough research on social media to determine that John's father was a billionaire. The only thing John accomplished was make his friends feel misled and insulted. In grad school, John wore stylish designer clothes. He went to a first-class hairstylist. He drove 2 very nice cars. One was a sporty new 2-seat roadster intended to impress girls. The other was a big, luxurious SUV suitable for hauling large groups of friends and luggage to fun outings. In class, the girls saw that he was handsome, fit, and looked like a model straight from the pages of fashion magazines. They learned that he spoke flawless French and English, and that he talked about sophisticated topics in a way that made him seem very mature and worldly. Despite being only 4 years older, the plan gave him a list of girls to chase as soon as grades were announced. On that day, John was free to take his list of potential lovers and see which ones he could get in bed first. "Hi, Angela. This is John Major," he said when he called the girl ranked number 1. "I enjoyed getting to know you this semester. I checked, and I see you got an A for the class. That didn't surprise me. You were the brightest student I had." Then came the pitch. "Every time I read one of your essays, I always thought that you are a fascinating person, and that I'd like to get to know you better. I did my best to disguise my feelings, but I don't have to hide them anymore. Would you like to get a coffee sometime?" Maybe it was because John did a good job finding girls free of entanglements and looking for adventure. Maybe it was because the girls recognized that John was a big upgrade from the boys they dated in high school. For whatever reason, the girls almost always said yes. John almost always decided they were as sexy and interesting as he'd hoped. He almost always had them in bed by the second or third date. He got so much pussy it was a challenge to schedule the girls, so he gave them each enough attention. Angela was his very first success. She was gorgeous, a California girl with strawberry blonde hair, blue eyes, long shapely legs, and an ass so round and firm it made John's mouth water. She had one attribute she flaunted: big boobs. Very big boobs. Angela's double D breasts were so appealing she could use them to get boys to do whatever she wanted. Her wardrobe consisted mainly of clothes that displayed generous amounts of cleavage. She liked to bend over and give boys lots of opportunities to look down her blouse, and she made sure John got plenty of views during the semester. John saw what was happening, and it amused him. He realized that the boys she met in high school must have been hypnotized by Angela's cleavage, but he was too smart to be fooled by such an obvious ploy. Yes, he thought her boobs looked nice. Yes, he wanted to see her naked. But it wouldn't give her the leverage she expected. It would take more than a nice pair of boobs to get John to do anything he didn't want to do. Or so he thought. Angela was very glad when John asked her out. She thought he was sexy from the first day of class, but she hadn't imagined he'd be interested in a freshman girlfriend. When John made it clear he wanted a relationship, Angela was quick to accept. On the second date, John invited her to his apartment for drinks. It was a special treat for a girl too young to order alcohol in bars. She was impressed to see that he lived in a luxurious apartment. John's clothes, car, and apartment showed that he had money, and Angela was quick to appreciate the advantages of a boyfriend who could take her to nice places and buy her nice things. Her high school boyfriend's idea of a big date involved bowling, and so Angela decided to go to bed with John as soon as she got the opportunity. During the drive to his apartment, Angela said she was glad to go to college in California because weed was legal, and she particularly enjoyed smoking weed. "Would you rather smoke a joint than have a cocktail?" he asked. "Yes, please," she said. "That's easily arranged," John said, driving to a dispensary and letting Angela pick which brand to buy. John wasn't a big consumer of weed, alcohol, or any other drug. He liked being fit and healthy. But he wasn't a prude either, and he was happy to share Angela's favorite recreational chemical. John rolled them a joint, put on music, and sat next to Angela on his couch. "This is a very nice apartment, John," she said. "I am very fortunate in lots of ways," he said. "I'm glad that you like it. I hope you'll be spending a lot of time here." He made sure Angela knew he wanted a relationship. She was smart enough to know he expected sex. That was fine, she wanted sex too. As they passed the joint back and forth, she found herself thinking that John was a very handsome guy, and that she'd like making out with him. As the joint took effect, John's eyes were drawn to Angela's bust. He suspected she had implants. He was wrong about that, as he'd learn later. He wanted to get his hands on those breasts, and he knew he'd try as soon as they finished their joint. "I love the way music sounds when I smoke weed," she said. "This feels nice," he said. "You picked out a good brand. I'll have to get some more for the next time you come over." "Next time." That sounded promising. Angela scooted closer to John, who put his arm around her shoulder and looked into her eyes. She wanted him to kiss her, and he wanted to give her what she wanted. Angela had exactly one previous boyfriend. John had 4 serious girlfriends and numerous hookups before starting grad school. His knowledge of how to please women was so far beyond Angela's experience that she was going to be surprised. She realized that John was a man, not a boy. John was going to teach her a lot. The most important thing John knew was that women needed a man who could go slow. Looking down at Angela's bosom made it easy for a boy to want to rush, but John was not like that. He kissed Angela gently, almost chastely. He kissed her again, and again, and he kept kissing her until she was moaning and urging him to explore her lips and mouth. She expected him to touch her breasts, but he refrained. Instead, he held her hand and began kissing her neck and shoulder. It was like throwing gasoline on a fire. Angela was already powerfully attracted to John. Smoking the joint transformed that attraction into lust. Her boobs were beginning to ache, and they wanted attention. John ran his hand up Angela's arm, almost touching one breast. It was maddening. She couldn't stand it anymore. So she did the thing John waited for. She took his hand and placed it directly on her boobs. He squeezed gently, prompting Angela to moan through their kiss. He pressed his hand against her, then traced along the skin at the boundary where her top exposed her cleavage. Feeling John's finger slip between her breasts was agonizingly pleasurable. She wanted a lot more than he was giving her, and she ached for him to tear off her top and have his way with her. Other boys had been in a hurry. Why wasn't he? Didn't he like her boobs? John loved her boobs, but he loved her growing arousal even more. He could tell she was getting desperate. That's exactly what he wanted. He knew that girls liked a man who moved slowly from one sensation to the next, giving them plenty of time to savor it all. John pushed one of her shoulder straps down. He slipped her bra strap down next. Angela was thrilled that John was finally going to expose one of her breasts, but she was frustrated that he was taking so long. She sat on the couch, paralyzed with desire, aching for the feel of his hand on her bare flesh. He kept getting closer, and she was sure he'd get there eventually, but her skin seemed to burn as she waited and waited and waited. When he finally pulled the fabric away from her breast, John leaned down and sucked the nipple between his lips. "Oh," Angela said. She was surprised to feel John's lips instead of his hand, but it was the best possible surprise. She leaned back on the couch and panted with desire as he worked to excite her. Angela's heart was pounding. The sensations coming from her breast were exquisite. This was either the finest weed she'd ever smoked, or John was a master at arousal. Maybe both. It also seemed that Angela was exactly what John wanted. She was a beautiful, sexy girl who didn't have much erotic experience, but was eager to learn. John knew he'd enjoy introducing her to sexual experiences she knew nothing about. He also knew that by treating her gently at first, he'd show her he could be trusted, which would be important when he started making her do things she wasn't sure she wanted. John enjoyed nothing more than showing a woman how to enjoy edgy, kinky sex that was outside the boundaries of what she thought she'd like. He liked teaching women to enjoy bondage, spanking, deep throat. And he particularly liked surprising women who never imagined they'd be interested in anal sex. By the time John finished, Angela would beg him to fuck her ass. He sat next to her on the couch, watching her squirm under his touch. He knew he'd been right to rank her at the top of his list of hot freshman girls who'd want to wrap themselves around his cock. Angela's legs were as far apart as she could spread them. John saw that she wanted to be touched between her legs. He'd do that for her, but not yet. It was time to take her top off. Angela looked at him through half-open eyes when he began lifting her top free. Without being asked, without even thinking, Angela raised her arms over her head so John could remove the last barrier between his hands and her boobs. It was easy to see why she was so proud of them. They were magnificent. He'd suspected Angela must have implants, but her boobs looked completely natural, and they felt that way. Angela liked to think of her breasts as big naturals, a term she knew that guys used to describe especially large tits, like the type found on well-endowed centerfold models who didn't have implants. She took a good look at John's face as he got his first glimpse of her naked boobs. Angela was pleased to see that John liked them as much as she'd hoped. She wanted John to like her tits, and to spend lots of time caressing, kissing, and sucking on them. John was glad to hear her squeal in pleasure when he bit one gently. He felt like he could play with her breasts all day, but this was their first time together, and he needed to give her what she wanted next. "Let's take this to the bedroom," he whispered, standing up and taking her hand. Angela nodded and let him lead the way. As she moved, Angela realized that her pussy was extremely wet. It felt squishy as she walked. John unhooked Angela's belt and lowered her shorts to her feet. When he removed her panties, he saw they were damp. He lowered her back on the bed and took a good, long look at her naked body. Everything was lovely, from her dainty little feet to her beautiful feminine face. She had one feature he'd never seen on a woman. Her pubic hair was the same color as the strawberry blonde hair on her head. He'd seen several girls who had carpets that matched the drapes, but he'd never seen this particular shade of blonde. Most girls her age shaved their pubic hair, but Angela trimmed it down to a broad triangle that left plenty of blonde hair to admire. John was glad to see she shaved the hair around her labia. That would make it easier to eat her pussy. Angela saw John examining every inch of her body, and it made her feel exposed. She was one of those unfortunate girls raised to think nudity was shameful, so she tried to cover herself with her hands. Poor kid. John knew he'd need to help Angela get over this burdensome inhibition.
"Don't do that,"
John said, taking one hand, then the other, and moving them to her sides. Angela's feeling of nakedness grew stronger than ever, but John was smiling in a reassuring way. She left her hands where they were. John was still fully clothed, but he wouldn't be for long. He removed items one at a time, letting her see his body. She looked a bit fearful when he lowered his boxers, making his hard cock spring free. He got a condom, but Angela stopped him.
"We don't need that,"
she said.
"I've got an IUD."
John had forgotten. He'd known Angela was on birth control. In one of her essays, she'd written that the first thing she did after moving to campus was go to the student health center and get an IUD. She wrote that taking care of birth control in advance made her feel like a mature, responsible adult. When John read that, he moved Angela to the very top of his list of prospective lovers. He laid down beside Angela, pulling her close. His hard cock pressed into her hip. Angela had a boyfriend when she was an 18-year-old in high school, but she hadn't hooked up with anyone since starting college last semester. She was getting horny. It felt wonderful to know that John was about to end her celibacy. Raising up on one elbow, John kissed her. She didn't need soft, delicate little kisses. Angela was ready for deep, soulful kisses that would get her ready for what was about to happen. He caressed her big, beautiful breasts, then began running his hand down her belly. Angela spread her legs so John could touch her there. She exhaled a long, satisfied breath when his hand finally reached her pussy. That big blonde bush was so beautiful that John wanted to go down on her, but he decided to save that experience for the next time they made love. John knew Angela wasn't a virgin, but she didn't have much experience. It was possible no one had ever eaten that lovely blonde pussy. John knew that some girls were frightened when men went down on them the first time. He would use his hand. His tongue could wait until next time, when she was more trusting and comfortable with him. Angela felt John dip one finger into her warm, wet slit, and she clamped her legs shut. It wasn't that she wanted him to stop. It was just that the sensation was so powerful she moved reflexively.
"Relax,"
John said, reaching down gently and spreading her knees as far apart as was comfortable. When he put his hand back on her pussy, she was finally ready. She moaned as John moved one finger up and down her inner lips. He avoided touching her clit, knowing Angela would like it more if he gave her some foreplay first. When he finally moved his wet finger over and around her clit, Angela began squirming on the bed, obviously drowning in erotic desire. John kept this up for a long time. Too long, Angela thought. When he slipped one finger all the way inside her, Angela wished it was his cock instead. What was he waiting for? Couldn't he tell she was going out of her mind? This was nothing like the way she'd been treated by her high school boyfriend. He played with her pussy for a short while, then shoved his cock inside her and pumped away forcefully. Angela thought that felt good, but she was always disappointed when her boyfriend came. She'd wanted more. She'd had lots of orgasms from touching herself, but she'd never come during sex. She'd read that lots of women had trouble having orgasms, and she thought it was normal. It was not normal with John. He slipped a second finger inside Angela and used his thumb to massage her clit. That did it. Angela began to come, and come hard. Her body shook. She groaned. John felt throbbing as the muscles in her pussy contracted. When she opened her eyes, Angela saw that John was watching her come. She felt so exposed it made her blush.
"You look beautiful. Just beautiful,"
John said, trying to reassure her.
If things worked out, John expected to watch Angela have lots of orgasms in the weeks and months ahead. She couldn't quite believe she'd had an orgasm, and John hadn't even begun using his cock. Angela reached down and wrapped her hand around it. His cock felt so good. It would feel wonderful inside her. It had been too long since she'd had a cock, and her pussy was hungry for it. She didn't want to wait any longer. "Give it to me," she pleaded as she gave his cock a squeeze. That's what John was waiting to hear. With a little effort, John thought he could train Angela to beg for what she wanted. She would learn that John loved hearing women beg. He climbed on top of her body, took his cock in hand, and put the tip at the entrance to her pussy. And then he waited. John always waited. He'd learned that it was easy to move too fast for a woman, but it was hard to move too slow. Angela waited for him to slip inside her for the first time, and she waited, and she began feeling so frustrated she grabbed him around the waist and tried to pull him up and inside her.
"Please, John," she implored.
John finally gave her his cock, and she went.
"Yes."
John liked it when girls made noise. If Angela turned out to be a loud lover, it would be one more reason she'd be welcome in his bed. Angela wasn't surprised that John moved very slowly inside her. He seemed to specialize in going slow. It felt a lot better than the fast pounding sex she'd gotten from her old boyfriend. John pressed forward as deep as he could, pulled almost all the way out slowly, then did it again and again. She'd never felt anything so erotic. It wasn't long before she realized that she was going to come again. How could this be happening? She thought it was a simple fact that orgasms weren't easy for her. John seemed to know more than Angela about what she needed in bed. "You're such a sexy little girl," John whispered as her orgasm faded away. He was different from boys she'd dated before. She'd barely respected those boys, and she'd bossed them around because she could. One look at Angela's cleavage turned them into wimps who'd do whatever she said. With John, he was completely in charge. She climaxed again. Angela started getting tired after her orgasm. She had a feeling that John didn't care if she was tired or not. He was moving in and out of her steadily, showing no sign of finishing. For a moment she imagined that John might want to do this for hours. But John was beginning to get more excited, and he could tell that he'd have to come soon. It was fine if he did. Angela had already had a couple of orgasms, and he thought he could give her one more before he had to finish. He struggled to keep from coming. When he felt her start to come again, he relaxed and allowed his own release to begin. His cock ached by now. He'd been on the edge of coming for so long it hurt a little when it finally happened. As they enjoyed the afterglow, John congratulated himself for choosing Angela. He'd done a great job finding a gorgeous freshman girl who didn't know much about sex, but who promised to be an excellent lover. John was careful not to do anything fancy this first time he took her to bed, restricting it to missionary sex with plenty of foreplay. But he looked forward to introducing Angela to every kind of twist and kink that sex had to offer. It was wonderful, right up until it wasn't. John invited Angela on thoughtful, creative dates that made her feel like an adult. He took her to nice restaurants, the kind where you dressed up and ordered wine with dinner. When they had conversations, he encouraged her to talk about herself, and he listened to what she had to say. She saw John genuinely cared about her as a person. He asked for her opinion about where they went and what they did. He gave her thoughtful gifts, including a particularly beautiful orange topaz necklace on a heavy gold chain. It complimented her complexion, and it called attention to the cleavage that made her so proud. Sitting in a fancy restaurant with a low-cut dress and her new necklace made the pretty freshman feel very grown up. The problem started so gradually that John didn't realize what was happening for much too long. Angela knew that John insisted they have an open relationship, and she'd agreed to that, but the issue never seemed to be settled.
"I don't want to share you with other women," she'd say.
John was having so much fun with Angela in bed and out that he was especially gentle when he told her how he felt.
"We are too young to have monogamous relationships. It just doesn't work."
He explained that three girlfriends broke his heart by cheating on him.
"I'm not saying you are anything like those girls," he said. "But we are both young enough that we are going to face temptations. When that happens to you, I don't want you to feel I've locked you in a cage. If you get a chance to have an adventure, do it. I'll be here when you're done."
What he left unsaid was that he planned to have as many adventures as possible. He'd go through this explanation patiently but firmly, making sure he didn't mislead Angela into thinking he was open to changing his mind. Most girls were fine with his position. If Angela wasn't willing to have that kind of relationship, John would find others. He wouldn't like it, but John was dating other girls on his list of hot prospects, and he had no intention of giving up the right to sleep with as many women as he wanted. But the subject kept coming up, and John became increasingly gentle and understanding. Angela acted like she was genuinely troubled by the notion of an open relationship. John understood, but it didn't matter. He began to think that teaching Angela how to have a satisfying open relationship might be an even more important skill than how to give a good blowjob, and there was a different problem. John enjoyed touching Angela sexually when they weren't in bed. He liked to squeeze her beautiful butt, or reach around and feel her big boobs. When this happened, Angela often took his hand, removed it, and gave him a look like he was out of line. This seemed weird. John could understand if Angela got upset if he did this in public. He agreed that men shouldn't paw women when others could see. But they were lovers, and intimate touching in private was part of that. As time went by, John spent more and more effort trying to understand Angela. He loved the sexual part of their relationship. Angela had come to trust that John knew how to treat her, so she'd become willing to try whatever he wanted to do. She was thrilled when he ate her pussy for the first time. John loved having such a young bedmate who would do absolutely anything. He liked it when a relationship reached the stage where the woman no longer expected John to ask permission. He and Angela were like this from the beginning. So why did she stop him from touching her? Why did she keep challenging his stance on open relationships? John eventually realized what was happening. Angela was very young when she learned she could make men do whatever she wanted. Her boobs began growing so early that she looked womanly before any of the girls she knew. She saw boys and even men stealing glances at her cleavage. It prompted her to wear low-cut blouses wherever she went. When she wanted something, all she had to do was ask. It didn't matter if she wanted a male teacher to excuse her from class, or she wanted a boy to buy her a cheeseburger. If she batted her eyes, tossed her hair, and leaned forward enough to let them look down her blouse, she always got her way. She wasn't being sincere when she pretended to discuss John's ideas on open relationships. Angela was just asking the same question over and over because she thought that if she kept asking, she'd eventually get the answer she wanted. She was treating John like a wimp, just like other guys she dated. Removing his hands from her body was a simple dominance move. It was no different from smacking a dog on the nose with a rolled-up newspaper. Angela was trying to let John know she was the boss. It didn't make much sense to try this move with a man like John, but it had always worked in the past. John got angry when he finally figured this out. She had tried to manipulate him, and she'd had more success than he liked to admit. He'd been too polite. Those big beautiful boobs had worked their magic, and John had done things he hadn't wanted to do. He was pussy-whipped by an 18-year-old freshman. A bossy little bitch. It was fortunate that John had no plans to see Angela that day, because he got so mad he wanted to say something he'd regret. His date that night was a charming girl named Lauren. She was beautiful in a way that was completely different from Angela, and she had a wonderful personality. Cheerful. Considerate. Kind. And she loved sex. Lauren had more experience than Angela, and she was enthusiastic about everything. Lauren said something remarkable. She told John she appreciated the effort he put into thinking of nice things for them to do on dates. She enjoyed going to clubs, listening to musicians, eating at fine restaurants, and all the other things John arranged. But she told him that she didn't need those kinds of dates if he didn't have time. She knew he was busy with his studies and other responsibilities. What she liked most, she said, was spending time with him, especially in bed. She hoped they would continue having the kind of fun dates they'd enjoyed, but she wanted him to know that if he was ever short on time, he should just invite her to spend the night, and she'd be fine with that. It was touching. John saw that Lauren was completely sincere. He knew that girls were attracted by his money, and it was refreshing to hear Lauren say that all she wanted was John. That night, as they made love, Lauren made him forget all about the bossy little bitch who'd had so much success emasculating him. Lauren made him forget again when they made love the next morning. When John dropped her off at her dorm room, he decided to invite Lauren to go on a trip he'd originally planned to take with Angela. Spring break was coming, and John had found a marvelous resort a short flight away in Mexico. It was surrounded by clubs, restaurants, and tourist attractions. There was a nude beach.
"Would you like to go with me?"
he asked her. Lauren smiled the same cheerful smile that seemed to define her. John realized that Lauren's smile was even more attractive than Angela's boobs.
"That's very sweet." "I'd love to, John," she said.
Lauren felt good that John thought enough of her to offer this trip.
"I'd ordinarily worry about spending a week with a man I've only known a little while," she said. "But we get along so well, I feel very comfortable with you. I'm sure we can spend a week together without killing each other."
John laughed. Very wise. Very droll.
"My hope is that we know each other a lot better by the time we come back."
"Don't fool yourself," Lauren said.
"We probably won't leave the hotel room."
John laughed again.
"You say that like it's a bad thing."
Lauren kissed him on the cheek, decided she wanted more, and kissed him fiercely on the lips.
"See you soon,"
she said as she got out of the car. John spent the rest of the day catching up on schoolwork, going to the gym, and cleaning his apartment. He changed the sheets. He always changed the sheets when he was expecting female company, and Angela was due soon. He'd calmed down a lot. John decided that if he needed to dump Angela, he'd do it, but he hoped he wouldn't have to. He loved their erotic relationship. Angela was a real bombshell who was terrific in bed. But he wouldn't tolerate any more whining about open relationships. As he thought about it, John realized that he didn't believe Angela could be trusted to be faithful. He was beginning to realize that she was one of those people who demands that everyone in her life follow strict rules she didn't follow herself. She was the last woman he'd trust to be exclusive, and he wasn't going to tolerate any more of her refusals to let him touch her intimately. He'd done more than enough to prove he was a good boyfriend, and he damn well expected to be treated like one. Even if John decided to keep Angela in his life, he thought he'd probably want to spend most of his time with other girls, like Lauren. He was glad Lauren had agreed to spend the week of spring break with him. At that moment, it seemed unlikely that he'd ever invite Angela on any nice trips. Angela was all smiles and warmth when she knocked on John's door. She had no idea that his attitude toward her had shifted, and John did nothing to make that known. He'd decided that he'd treat her the same as always. If she behaved herself, fine. But if she turned into a bossy little bitch, he'd shut her down. John had just taught himself how to make margaritas. An 18-year-old girl like Angela was too young to drink in restaurants, so she enjoyed being able to have a cocktail at John's apartment.
"Tell me about your day,"
John said as he handed her the glass. As always, he listened attentively as Angela spoke. Angela sipped her drink, enjoying every delicious drop. But then her mind turned in a bad direction. Despite being told repeatedly that the subject was closed, Angela remembered that she wanted to try again to convince John to have an exclusive relationship. She'd keep asking until she got the answer she wanted. That worked with other guys.
I can't help but think about you spending time with other women, Angela said.
Here it comes, John thought sourly.
Don't you think we'd both feel better if we were committed to each other?
It was a struggle to keep from getting angry. John composed his thoughts and decided what he wanted to say.
We've talked about this many times, he said.
I have nothing more to add.
What?
That was different. Angela had always managed to whine and wheedle enough to get John to humor her and discuss it. That's part of the reason she continued to whine and wheedle. He'd never shut her down like this. Angela was a smart girl, and she sensed that something may have changed, so she stopped talking about it. For now. She thought she'd revisit the topic soon. They went to the kitchen to refill their glasses. While they were there, John put his arm around Angela's waist, slowly letting his hand caress her butt. Without even thinking, Angela automatically took John's hand and moved it away. It was the wrong thing to do, and the wrong time to do it. John was already irked, and being swatted away like a bug caused him to boil over. He pulled Angela to him forcefully, pressing their bodies together. She was startled. It was out of character. John usually engaged in the kind of slow-motion seduction that began with caring, gentle persuasion. He never grabbed her roughly and pulled her to him in a way that suggested he didn't care if she consented or not.
John, what are you doing?
She asked. He didn't answer. Wasn't it obvious what he was doing? He pressed forward, pinning her between his body and the counter. His hands felt her breasts, her waist, her hips, and her legs. He grabbed a handful of the fabric of her dress and began lifting it up to her waist.
Let's do this in the bedroom, Angela said.
She was alarmed. She could tell John was mad.
Let's do this right here, he said, spinning her around and pushing her forward until she was bent over the counter.
His body pressed up against her so firmly she couldn't get away. Angela was powerless to do anything as she felt John raise her dress up to her waist and pull her panties down to her knees. She realized John was undoing his pants and lowering them to the floor. She felt his hard cock press up against her pussy. It slipped inside. It happened so fast. She wasn't wet at all when he started. But he worked himself in and out, using shallow strokes, and it wasn't long until Angela was so juicy that the whole kitchen smelled like sex.
John, why are you doing this?
Angela asked.
Because I want to,
he said, shoving himself deeper and deeper with each stroke. Angela thought she should be upset, but they both could tell she was growing more aroused by the second. It made her feel like a slut. John was treating her like some kind of whore, and she couldn't help but like it. She never felt that way about herself. Angela looked up at a mirror mounted on the kitchen wall. It showed everything they were doing. She saw the expression of arousal on her face, and the way John's face looked determined and angry. It was like watching a sex video, with her cast as a porn star. John unzipped her dress and pulled the shoulders down to the waist. He unhooked her bra and pulled it aside. In the mirror, Angela saw her bare boobs bounce every time John slammed into her from behind. He was manhandling her, and it made her so excited she realized he was going to make her come soon. John looked in the mirror and was pleased to see the expression on Angela's face. It was a mixture of surprise, fear, and powerful desire. She was moving the way she always moved when she was about to come. He gave her ass a nice hard spank, then did it again. She moaned. John realized that this might be the last time he had sex with Angela. There were so many things he wanted to teach her. He looked down to admire her beautiful bottom, and he saw her tiny brown asshole. Maybe there was time for one last lesson. He pulled his cock out of her wet pussy, placed it against her butt, and pushed inside.
John!
Angela said, shocked at what he was doing. His cock felt huge in her ass. It hurt a little because she'd never done this before, but this was a time when a little pain felt good. He was sawing in and out of her ass, giving no sign that he'd heard her call out, or that he cared. Nothing could stop John from fucking her up the ass. Angela knew about anal sex, and she'd seen it in porn videos, but she was firmly against trying it herself. It seemed dirty and sinful. She'd imagined it must be unbearably painful. But John went deeper and deeper, and it felt good. Angela realized that he was going to make her come. That was the moment John came. He made no effort to hold back. He saw no reason to wait so Angela could come first. He came, and came, and kept coming, filling her ass with warm wet cum. The sensation of John's throbbing cock and gushing cum was more intense in her tight, sensitive ass than it would have felt in her pussy. She still felt John was treating her like a slut, but she didn't mind anymore. She began coming like never before. The tight, intense sensation overwhelmed Angela. It unleashed a wave of animal lust. She wailed in release. Every muscle in her body clenched. The muscles in her ass gripped John's cock so hard he couldn't move in or out. She called out again, leaning forward until her naked boobs pressed against the cold counter. She made a whimpering noise. John held her shoulders as Angela calmed down. He was being gentle again. His cock went soft and slipped wetly from her ass. He turned her around and gave her a deep, passionate kiss. Neither one of them knew what to say, but it didn't matter because nothing needed to be said. Angela picked up her clothes and went to the bathroom where John had a bidet. The warm water and dry air felt good on her delicate little asshole, which was sore. It had endured a lot. John washed his face and his cock, then he took Angela by the elbow and led her to bed.
"Let's take a nap,"
he said, wrapping her in his arms. When she woke, Angela saw John beside her, looking into her eyes and smiling. He pulled her to him, and the feel of skin against skin excited them both. John got hard immediately. He rolled Angela onto her back, spread her legs, and shoved his cock inside her pussy, which was still wet. For the first time, he didn't give Angela any foreplay. It didn't matter. The sensation of his cock moving inside her made Angela come very quickly. John came soon after. The time of their restaurant reservations was drawing close, so they dressed for dinner and John drove them there. It was a fancy French restaurant with valet parking. All the men wore jackets, and all the women wore long dresses. Angela wore a low-cut gown and her new topaz necklace. They both pretended nothing had happened. But a lot had changed. Angela had gotten the message. She realized that she'd been a bossy little bitch, and John had lost his temper for a reason. She'd never had sex with an angry person before, and she was surprised how much she'd enjoyed it. As she sat in the hard chair in the restaurant, her delicate little butthole felt sore. The dull pain reminded Angela what happened after John bent her over the kitchen counter. A woman with a microphone came out on stage, followed by a man who sat down at a piano. She began singing a song by Jacques Brel, a French musician and composer beloved by John's grandparents. The woman sang in French. John knew the words because he'd heard all of Brel's songs many times, but Angela struggled to understand. John translated the hard parts. They leaned back in their booth when the woman began another song. John's hands drifted idly to Angela's lap. Without thinking, he began stroking the inside of her thigh. Angela went to remove his hand. Then she froze. Why exactly did she keep stopping John from doing something so harmless? What exactly was wrong with him expressing his affection this way? The tablecloth blocked the view so no one could see what he was doing. The fact that he liked her body was a good thing. What was the big deal? Angela realized that she'd learned to do this to the boys in high school, and that it was a way to show them she was the boss. But things had changed. She realized that John had no interest in dating a bossy little bitch. She was no longer the boss. She spread her knees so he could touch her wherever he wished.
Chapter 2.
The girl who craved attention. Another semester. Another crop of hot girls. John had two boxes of liquor bottles in the trunk of his car. He was hosting a party for his students, and he wanted to have whatever type of booze they liked. It was top-shelf stuff, including the brands of tequila, vodka, and rum favored by college students. There was a bottle of John's favorite bourbon. The students seemed pleased that their teaching assistant invited them to his apartment. Most of them confirmed they'd attend. John was especially glad that the girls he liked most said they'd come. He'd been watching his female freshman students to decide which ones he'd invite on dates as soon as the semester ended, and he was no longer their teaching assistant. He was only 4 years older, but the difference between an 18-year-old freshman and a 22-year-old grad student was a big one. It was even bigger with John, who'd grown up in a wealthy family that gave him every advantage. He'd traveled the world, experienced a lot, and benefited from parents who'd raised him to have refined manners that matched his poise and intelligence. To the girls in his class, he seemed like a big upgrade from the boys they met in high school. But they didn't think a man so mature and worldly would be attracted to them. They were wrong. John loved girls who had a lot to learn. He enjoyed introducing them to all kinds of experiences, from fine dining to kinky sex. He'd paid extra attention to the girls who interested him most. It wasn't like grooming, exactly, but John knew how to get a girl to like him. He'd cultivated the attention of several girls that semester, and his work was about to reap rewards. The party would help him let some of the girls on his list know he was interested. The trip to the liquor store was mainly intended to help John be a good host. If somebody wanted some particular type of cocktail, he wanted to have the ingredients. But he also wanted the girls to see that he wasn't the kind of guy who was satisfied with providing his guests with a keg of beer and some potato chips. He had a tray of hors d'oeuvres from a caterer. It would seem pretty nice for a group of freshmen who were too young to order alcohol in bars. John was looking at the bottles when he saw something interesting out of the corner of his eye. It was a particularly beautiful female calf. Reflectively, his glance moved up the leg to see well-turned hips, a crop top revealing flat bare abs, marvelous cleavage, and beautiful shoulders. When he finally looked at her face, John saw that the young woman was staring directly at him. She'd caught him inspecting her body like a piece of meat, busted.
"I have to apologize. I am sorry," John said. "I don't usually stare like that. I wasn't thinking."
The girl just looked at him. His uninvited gaze startled her. She felt exposed in her leggings and crop top, which suddenly seemed very revealing.
"My mind was elsewhere," John said. "I guess I just have to be honest here. I wasn't expecting a beautiful woman to walk up beside me. I'm sure you could tell that I think you're very attractive. It was not my intention to be a jerk."
He seemed harmless enough.
"Don't worry about it," she said.
"You're fine.
I guess I should consider it a compliment, just not a very mature one."
"Yeah.
That's me. Mr. Immaturity. God, I feel terrible. The last thing women need is to be drooled over by random strangers. I can honestly say this has never happened before.
Usually when I look at beautiful women, I barely drool at all."
She smiled. It was easy to tell he wasn't some pervert. He was handsome. His clothes were expensive. He drove a hot little sports car. The trunk contained two boxes full of top-shelf liquor.
"Planning a party?" she asked.
"You see right through me," John said.
"I've got a group of students coming over tonight. These are the refreshments. I see some nice brands in there," she said. "I hope my guests agree. My name is John, by the way. John Major.
Hi, John.
I'm Stephanie, but call me Steph.
Nice to meet you, Steph. It would be great if we could start over. She smiled. He didn't know it, but John had given Steph something she'd wanted all day. That morning she dressed to look a little more provocative than usual. Her mother had always resisted the notion that Steph was old enough to date, and the result was that Steph felt lonely. Like any normal 18-year-old girl, Steph craved male attention, and she wasn't getting it. The girls she knew at school all had boyfriends who hugged and kissed them when the teachers weren't watching, and did a lot more in private. It was maddening. Steph showered that morning and stood in front of her mirror as she toweled off. She thought she looked sexy, with nice firm boobs, a tight butt, and the legs and abs of an athlete. She wanted to be admired, and she wasn't fussy about who did it. It didn't happen. None of the boys paid any attention. She felt invisible all day. Being ignored did nothing good for her self-esteem. She was feeling sorry for herself as she was walking home. Then, a handsome stranger checked her out like a meat inspector. Yes, it was a bit crude, but it was what she'd wanted all day. "This looks like more than you can carry in one trip," she said. "Would you like some help?" John was very surprised. She was a goddess. He'd acted like a slob. And yet, she was being nice. "That would be most welcome," he said. They carried the boxes to his apartment. John led Steph to the kitchen and showed her where to put her box. He went to the refrigerator, removed a bottle of water, and offered it to her. "You look too young to be a professor," Steph said. "I'm not a professor. Just a student," John said. "This looks pretty fancy for student housing," Steph said. "I am very fortunate. My parents are very generous. At least, they are generous as long as I get good grades." Steph made an understandable mistake. When John said he was a student, she assumed he was an undergraduate. That meant her estimate of his age was off by a few years. John made a similar mistake. He assumed Steph was a college student because she looked like a mature woman. He couldn't tell she was in high school. They spoke for a few minutes, and John invited her to his party. "It would be nice if you came," he said. "I've got more than enough snacks. And I'm pretty sure the beverages won't run out." "Thanks," Steph said. "I'll try to come." She left John's apartment, and he hoped he'd see her again. She was lovely. Like a lot of young men, when John met a beautiful woman, he couldn't help but wonder what she looked like naked. His imagination was hard at work thinking about Steph. She had some mysterious quality that aroused John's interest. John got ready for the party, then took a nap so he could remain alert no matter how long his guests stayed. A knock on the door woke him about an hour before his guests were supposed to arrive. It was his friend Maxine. She'd agreed to come early to help get everything ready, but John had managed on his own, so they sat on his couch and talked about the semester that had just ended. Maxine was a friend with benefits. Like John, she was a grad student majoring in French. They met a few days after John came to town, and they fell into bed almost immediately. Maxine liked men. A lot. She had no interest in monogamous relationships, either did John, so it was nice that they could enjoy friendly sex with no strings attached. One nice thing John liked about their relationship was that Max was so earthy. Like John, she wanted to have as many romantic adventures as possible while in grad school, and they enjoyed very blunt, honest conversations about their approaches to dating. John told her about the process he used to find cute young women to date, and Maxine was amused by his scientific approach. Like John, Maxine also taught freshman French students, but she had no interest using John's approach to find bed partners. "Those sweaty little boys don't interest me at all," Maxine said. "I like dudes who are older than me. Women like older men, men like younger women. I'm sure I could get any one of those little twerps in bed if I batted my eyes and twitched my butt. My taste runs to men your age or older. Do you know Professor Clark?"
"Sure,"
John said. "Teaches French literature, right?" "That's the one. I fucked him."
"Really?
Isn't he married?" Maxine laughed. "Married men are the best. They've been fucking the same woman for so long they are desperate for fresh pussy. He gave me a great ride."
"Aren't you worried you'll get him in trouble?"
"Nah. He's smart enough to avoid getting caught. I have to make sure I don't wear perfume, because it would be hard for him to go home and explain to his wife why he smells like a chick. We're just having a little fun. No one has to know. I'm shocked."
"Shocked?"
Those are brave words from a guy who set up an assembly line for having his way with girls who are barely old enough to vote.
"Fair point. I guess we're both just sluts," John said.
"Damn right," Maxine said. The first guests were dressed better than John expected. These were undergraduates. They considered jeans to be formal wear. But they cleaned up for John's party. There were three girls who were on John's list of potential dating material, and they were all dressed in sexy, stylish outfits that made them look older than their age of 18. John hadn't done anything improper, but they could tell from the way he acted that he was attracted to them. They dolled themselves up for John, and he knew it. Like a good host, John mingled with his guests. They were surprised that he had such a nice apartment. They knew he wore expensive clothes and had a great car, but it was a surprise that a grad student could afford a nicer place than a lot of the full professors. It was increasingly obvious that John's family had money. One of the best-dressed students was Ginger Loran, who was at the very top of the list of girls John wanted to pursue this semester. She was gorgeous, she knew it, and she made sure everyone else knew it, too. Unlike most of the other girls at John's party, Ginger wore a dress instead of slacks or a skirt. It was held up by spaghetti straps that displayed a generous amount of cleavage. The hemline was short enough to make it impossible not to notice her long, shapely legs. Her hair and makeup were perfect.
Hi, Ginger. Could I show you something?
John said.
Sure,
she said, smiling sweetly. He led Ginger to the master bedroom.
There's a little balcony out there,
John said, opening a sliding glass door and directing Ginger to sit in one of his patio chairs.
Wow, this is nice,
Ginger said.
You can see most of the campus from up here. The view is what sold me on renting this apartment,
John said. The sun was down and the sky was beginning to get dark. She was aware of how much she enjoyed sitting in such a nice place and having a cocktail with such an attractive man. John asked Ginger how her other classes had gone that semester. He already knew. He'd used his access to the university computer system to determine that Ginger had earned A's in every class. The only reason he asked was because he'd already planned how to begin the little speech that would end with him asking her out.
I'm not surprised you got such good grades. You're the brightest student I had this semester. The essays you wrote for me were perceptive. Insightful.
I realized early on that you are an interesting person. I thought I'd like to know you better.
John had used this exact pitch to get three women in bed so far. He hoped Ginger would be the fourth. She smiled when she realized he was about to ask her on a date. Ginger thought the evening was going better than expected. She'd been attracted to John since the first day of class, and she'd gotten the sense that the attraction was mutual, but she hadn't imagined that a suave, sophisticated older man like John would want to be with a freshman girl.
It's been hard for me to wait for the semester to end so I could tell you how I feel, John said. I don't know if this interests you, but I'd love it if I could take you to dinner sometime.
That would be very nice,
Ginger said.
I'd like that. They set a time and date, and John described a Thai restaurant he liked. It was a nice, fancy place that he expected Ginger would enjoy.
Do you like Thai food? He asked.
I like everything. Well, almost everything, Ginger said, smiling sweetly. The conversation made her feel good. She'd had very little luck dating since she got to college. She'd gone out with a few boys, but they were loud, immature, and much too fond of dirty jokes. The idea of kissing any of those knuckleheads repulsed her. She thought she'd enjoy kissing John. Maybe her dry spell was ending.
I'd like to sit here and keep talking with you, but I'm being a bad host by ignoring my guests,
John said. Before leaving the balcony, John took Ginger's hand and gave it a chaste kiss. It was so unexpected, and so gallant, that Ginger swooned a little. No man had ever kissed her hand. As John resumed mingling, he noticed an unexpected guest. It was Steph, the girl who'd caught him leering at her earlier. He'd invited her to the party, but hadn't expected she'd accept an invitation from a man she'd just met.
I thought you were a student. They tell me you're a teacher, she said to John.
No.
I'm a teaching assistant. It's part of the requirement for grad students. Most of the actual teaching is done by the faculty.
What is your major?
French.
French language and history.
Working on my master's.
I'm taking French,
Steph said.
It's my hardest class. I get A's in every class but French.
I can barely get a B.
John began to realize that Steph wasn't a college student. She was in high school. He thought she was older because she looked like a mature woman. He was disappointed. It was silly, because the only thing he knew about Steph was that she was beautiful. There were three female college students in the room who were gorgeous and were much better prospects, but John was disappointed anyway.
Most high schools do a dreadful job teaching French,
John said.
Very few students learn anything useful. I'm surprised anyone learns anything at all.
I wish I'd taken Spanish.
I'm not used to feeling stupid in a class.
John understood. Many students had the same experience as Steph. It wasn't her fault. For reasons that baffled John, high school foreign language classes were almost always taught in a way that guaranteed failure and frustration. The problem is that schools don't start teaching foreign languages until it's too late to learn them. Back in the 1950s, scientists learned that the human brain has an area devoted to language acquisition. It's the reason babies acquire language with no study. But the area goes dormant when you reach puberty. After that, it's almost impossible to acquire useful foreign language fluency, no matter how hard you study. High schools don't start teaching foreign languages until after it becomes impossible to learn. They may as well have classes to teach kids how to flap their arms and fly to the moon.
I know exactly why you're having trouble,
John said.
I know exactly how to fix it.
If you like, I can help you. John couldn't understand why he was offering Steph something that would allow her to see him again.
He didn't have time to tutor a high school girl, no matter how hot she was. There were more than enough other girls to pursue.
I love that, Steph said. If I could get better grades in French, it would make it a lot easier for me to get a scholarship.
She said she expected to get a soccer scholarship, but that the college she wanted to attend liked to recruit good athletes who were also good students. There was no other way Steph could afford college, so getting a grades was important to her future. John was touched.
Steph told him that she walked past his apartment building every day after school.
He invited her to come by the next afternoon.
Bring your textbook, he said.
She seemed very happy about the invitation and said she'd stop by. John thought it was silly for him to be so glad for another chance to see her, but that's how he felt. It wasn't practical for him to feel attraction to a high school girl, but the way she looked and carried herself made her seem much older. John returned to mingling. Later, he noticed that Steph was engaged in some kind of deep discussion with Maxine. On occasion, he caught them looking his way. Later, Ginger left the party. John had hoped she'd leave early. He wanted to proposition another one of his students, and he didn't want to take a chance that Ginger would see what he was doing and realize she wasn't as special as John had said.
Can I freshen your drink?
John asked Marcia, who ranked second on his list of potential lovers.
That would be very nice, Marcia said.
She enjoyed receiving attention from John. She'd gotten more than her share all semester, and they both knew there was a mutual attraction. John returned her drink and asked if he could show her something. He took Marcia to the same balcony he'd shown Ginger earlier. It was completely dark now. The lights of the campus were spread out beneath them.
It must be nice living somewhere like this, Marcia said. I am very lucky, John said. I'm glad you like it. It would be very nice if things work out in a way that you spend more time here.
Marcia was surprised, but not for long.
I imagine that you can tell I have feelings for you, John said. I've tried to keep that hidden, but it's been difficult. I know I'm not really a teacher, but I haven't felt free to let you know how I feel until the class is over and you're no longer my student. Every time I read one of your essays, I felt that I'd like to get to know you better. Would it be all right for me to take you to dinner sometime?
John was very good at picking girls who'd be receptive to his overtures. Marcia accepted, they set a time and place, and John kissed her hand when they started to return to the party. Marcia wasn't satisfied with a kiss on her hand. She moved in to kiss John on the lips. It wasn't the kind of soulful, passionate kiss they'd exchange later, but it let John know Marcia was as interested in him as he was in her. There was one other girl on John's list, Frederica, but he didn't want to approach her while Marcia was still at the party. Still, things went very well. Marcia, Ginger, and Frederica all majored in very different subjects. This reduced the chance that they'd run into each other frequently, and perhaps talk about the fact that they were all dating the same man. John intended to make it clear to them from the beginning that they were in open relationships and free to date anyone they pleased, but he didn't want them to realize he pursued them all exactly the same way. It would serve no purpose. He genuinely liked all three girls, and he intended to make them all feel as special as they are. Maxine sat down on the couch after the last guest left. She kicked off her shoes.
I'd say that was a very successful party, John, she said. You were a good host.
I tried to be. Kids that age expect to be served cheap beer and nacho chips. I don't think they imagine I'd have hors d'oeuvres from a caterer.
They did a good job sucking that food down, didn't they? Don't freshmen ever eat? They acted like they hadn't had a good meal all week.
What Maxine wanted to know was how well John did with Ginger and Marcia. She knew he planned to proposition them at the party, and she was anxious to know how he was received.
It went great. I've got dates set up with both of them. I'm taking Ginger out for Thai food tomorrow night. Marcia and I are going to a French restaurant the night after that. I never got a chance to ask Frederica, but I'll call her later.
How soon do you expect them to spread their legs for you?
Marcia asked.
That's kind of a crude way of describing it, John said. No judgment. I like spreading my legs for the right guy. I'm sure you'll show those girls a good time before and after you get them into the sack. I'll do my best, John said.
Maxine poured herself a fresh cocktail. Most of the ice had melted, but she found enough for her gin and tonic.
You need to pay some attention to that high school girl, Steph, she said. I saw you talking with her, John said. I can report that she thinks you're the hottest boy she's ever seen. Steph was looking at you with big cow eyes all evening. She probably needed extra napkins because she was salivating so much.
That's all very flattering, but she's a high school kid, John said. She told me she's seeing you for French lessons tomorrow. Something tells me you want to do more than conjugate verbs.
John told Maxine the story of how Steph caught him leering.
I won't pretend that I don't find her attractive. Very attractive. But I wouldn't feel right making moves on a teenager.
Maxine laughed.
John, every freshman here tonight is a teenager. But they are in college. College kids are considered adults from the moment they arrive on campus. She may be beautiful, but Steph is a high school girl. John, you are hopeless. You obviously know nothing about women except how to get them in bed. You say that like it's a bad thing.
Oh geez.
Let me tell you what is going through Steph's mind right now. She's 18. She has reached the age where she sees her virginity as a burden. She's going to find someone to help her get rid of it. If it's not you, it might be some stupid high school boy who doesn't know a thing about how to please a woman, and he might not even be smart enough to use birth control. Lots of girls like Steph have bad experiences when they lose their virginity. You could make sure that doesn't happen. Why are you so sure she's such an innocent virgin? If I was a high school boy, I'd be on her like white on rice.
Yeah, well, high school boys are a lot less mature than girls at that age.
Steph told me she's never had a boyfriend. She said it in a way that makes it abundantly clear that she's lonely. If you don't pop her cherry, she'll find somebody else. Maxine, she's a kid. She's over the age of consent. She's not a kid. Are you afraid you'll get in trouble? She has no connection to the university. I guarantee that there's no way a girl that age will tell her parents she's having sex with somebody.
This reminds me of what happened when I lost my virginity. The guy who popped my cherry was wonderful.
Do tell, John said.
When I was 18, there was a guy in my neighborhood who worked the night shift. I caught him looking at my legs one day. John, girls like that. I guarantee that Steph was turned on when she caught you staring at her.
I started hanging around my neighbor's house, even though he was over 30. He didn't make a move for so long I began to feel desperate. I started wearing a pair of shorts that rode so high they didn't even cover the bottom of my butt. I wore t-shirts that were way too tight. It took a while, but I finally wore him down. He was wonderful. He knew exactly what I wanted. He always used birth control,
so I never worried about getting pregnant. I must have fucked that man 100 times. By the time it was over, that guy made a woman out of me.
And you think I should make a woman out of Steph? Why the hell not?
Somebody is going to do it, and it's going to happen soon. There is no chance she's going to find someone who'll do it better than you. John, this is an important moment in a girl's life. She'll always remember you fondly if you are the one.
This whole conversation was so weird that John wondered if Maxine was serious. She sounded serious. He'd come to know that Maxine was very blunt when it came to sex. She never pretended she didn't get hungry for hot, hard cock. John knew that part of the reason she hung around after the party was that she wanted to spend the night.
Well, you've had a successful evening, she said. You've got more than enough potential pussy lined up to take care of your cock. Are you going to call the third girl on your list?
Maybe. I'll see how my dates with Ginger and Marcia go. If they're both down to fuck, that should be enough for now. And you'll wind up popping Steph's cherry. I know you well enough to know that you'll eventually realize there's just no reason not to give that poor girl what she obviously needs.
We'll see, John said. Keep me posted. I live vicariously through the adventures of your penis.
Speaking of your penis, it's getting late, and I'd like to spend the night. Do you have a place where I could sleep? I was hoping it could be underneath you.
Blunt as always.
John smiled. I'll see if I can squeeze you in.
You don't have to tell me twice, Maxine said, standing up and walking toward John's bedroom.
She had her pants off seconds after getting there, and she got all her clothes draped over a chair by the time John removed his shoes.
It's not polite to keep a naked lady waiting,
Maxine said as she crawled onto the bed. She laid there and watched John undress.
You aren't too tired to service me properly, are you?
She asked.
Let me know afterward if I was adequate. I think I've got enough gas in the tank.
John said that he stretched out next to Maxine, who grabbed his cock immediately. It wasn't hard yet, but Maxine stroked it up and down in the way she knew John liked. She pushed him over on his back so she could straddle him. John had once shared that he particularly liked the cowgirl position because it gave him such a good view. Maxine liked it because it gave her so much control over how much stimulation she got. They didn't kiss because that's not the kind of relationship they enjoyed. When they made love, it was because they wanted sex, not love or romance.
That little ginger is going to be lots of fun in bed, isn't she, John?
Maxine whispered as she raised and lowered herself on John's cock.
She's got a hot little ass, doesn't she? I'll bet you can't wait to get her naked and see what she can do, can you?
Maxine could tell John liked this kind of dirty talk. He liked being able to share his erotic agenda with a woman who understood and approved. Maxine felt they were both at the right age to enjoy as many liaisons as they could. The idea of being with one man and settling down had no appeal to her, and she understood why John didn't want to be with one woman. With John, a girl could depend on being treated like a princess, having a great time in bed, and not worrying about pregnancy. If a girl wanted more than that, she was being greedy.
Marcia looks like she'll be lots of fun, Maxine said.
She began going up and down faster, and she rubbed her clit against John's body a little harder.
You couldn't stop staring at those big titties tonight. I'll bet she wore that low-cut top tonight just so you could take a good, long look. You'll get that hot little piece of ass in bed on the first date.
Ordinarily, John was in control during sex. That was never the case with Maxine, who knew exactly how to get him to do what she wanted.
I know you aren't going to be able to resist fucking that little girl Steph for the very first time, Maxine said. She's ready for cock, and she wants yours.
Don't make her find some big dumb high school boy who has no idea how to pop a girl's cherry. She wants a man who knows what he's doing. Don't you want to be the man who shoves a cock inside her for the very first time? If you give it to her once, she'll want it over and over and over. She'll keep you so busy you might not have enough time for little Ginger and Marcia.
Maxine's voice was unsteady. She was moving up and down so fast it was obvious that she was about to come. Her eyes were closed tight. Her teeth were clenched shut. It was easy to tell when Maxine started coming. Her whole body shook, she gasped for breath, and a joyful expression spread across her face. She fell forward into John's arms and let out a long, satisfied sigh.
That was adequate, she said.
Now let's take care of you.
Maxine rolled off John's body and laid down on her back. John got on top and began pounding into her. She let out a moan of pleasure.
Can you fill my hot little pussy with your cum, John? It's hungry for your cum. Please, John. Can I please have your cum?
That did it. Maxine's dirty mouth always excited him. He gave one last thrust before his cock erupted inside her.
Maxine giggled. That feels nice, John, she said. Your cock feels so nice when it comes inside me.
John rolled off Maxine's body and laid beside her.
It's been a good day so far, he said.
Adequate. Maxine said, one reason John was such a good student is that he was organized and disciplined. He got out of bed early and mixed up breakfast smoothies for him and Maxine. They had sex one more time before she left. After that, John cleaned up the remains from his party and vacuumed the carpets. He cleaned the kitchen. He changed the sheets so they'd be fresh if he managed to get lucky on his date with Ginger that night. Afterward, John had enough time for some schoolwork, then it was off to the gym. It was easy for him to keep up with school because he had an unfair advantage over the other grad students. He had a French-speaking mother and an English-speaking father who made sure to raise him so he was fluent in both languages, and that made majoring in French easy for him. He enjoyed school, and he liked to work hard, but he was glad to be in a master's program that was so easy. He wanted to earn his degree,
but a big part of his agenda for the next few years was to have a good time during this extended period of freedom. He wanted to explore the West Coast, go to nice restaurants and clubs, and become intimately acquainted with as many beautiful women as possible. His parents were happy to indulge him. John had always gotten good grades, and he benefited from having an older brother who was a goof-off. Since John's brother was in trouble constantly, they liked giving John whatever he wanted because they knew he wouldn't make them regret it. He was back home by lunch. The high school girl Steph had said she'd come by after school for some French tutoring. John didn't know if she'd come or not, so he sat down at his computer and got to work reviewing his lesson plans for next week. He heard her knock right on time.
"Hi there. I'm glad you could make it," John said as Steph walked in. She was wearing a very sexy outfit that paired tight shorts with a low-cut crop top. If Maxine was right, Steph might have chosen that outfit to make an impression on John. If so, it was working. She looked fabulous. Her hair and makeup were tasteful. She looked older than she was. That may have been her intention.
"If you can help me raise my French grade, that would be great," Steph said.
"I'm absolutely sure I can do that," John said. "I can tell you exactly what you need to do to get an A. It's not hard."
Steph pulled out her textbook and showed John what she was studying. He knew immediately what the class was trying to teach at that moment. John began explaining how to get an A on the test for this chapter.
"There's something you need to understand. It will help this make a lot more sense," John said. "Your class is not intended to teach you to communicate in French. You could get straight A grades in high school French, but if you went to Paris after that, you wouldn't be able to have meaningful conversations with anybody. You might know how to ask directions to the bathroom or order off a menu. Almost no one learns a foreign language in high school language classes."
"Then what's the point?" Steph asked.
"The point is to force you to take the same kind of classes your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents took. It's always been like this. The most rigid institution in America is public education. They aren't going to change something just because it's a complete failure." There was a survey done one time that calculated that 0.6% of students learn how to communicate in high school foreign language classes. Less than 1%. These classes are useless. Steph didn't see how this information helped.
"Here's the thing. The classes are intended to teach you something else."
"What?" "High school foreign language classes teach you how to pass tests in high school foreign language classes," John said. "If you devote all your attention to figuring out what is going to be on the next test, you'll get an A. Just abandon any notion that you're trying to actually learn French, and you'll do fine."
John went through her textbook page by page and showed her how to determine what material was likely to be part of the test. Steph was a bright girl who could see what he meant.
"Wow. You really do know this stuff, don't you?" she said. "It would be strange if I didn't. I was fluent in French and English before I started kindergarten. Would you like something to drink?"
John and Steph sat on his couch and talked. She told John that her mother was a wonderful woman who worried too much. She was a single parent who'd gotten pregnant at 16. Steph's biological father was a big dumb jerk who had no role in her life. For her first 10 years, Steph and her mother lived with her grandparents, who helped Steph's mother finish high school and then go to nursing school and get a job. They were almost like parents to Steph. With the grandparents' help, Steph's mother eventually saved enough to buy a nice little house in a nice little neighborhood a few blocks from John's apartment. Steph's mother feared that her daughter would make the same mistakes. She constantly lectured Steph on the dangers of dating boys.
"I've never been on a date," she told John. "If I did, it would freak her out so bad she'd drive me crazy. All my friends have boyfriends, they all have someone to take them out on the weekends, and I don't have anything like that."
"I'm sorry to hear that," John said.
"I had a great girlfriend in high school. We had a great time. We did lots of great things.
Yeah, well, my mom is afraid I'll have sex if I get within 100 feet of a boy," Steph said.
"Did you have sex with your girlfriend?"
That last question was so blunt it surprised John. He smiled at Steph and said,
"We had sex all the time. As often as we could. We had sex almost every time we saw each other. We really loved each other, and having sex was wonderful."
"Did you do all that in the back of your car?"
"No.
No, no, no.
My parents owned an RV that was parked in a big storage lot a couple of miles from where we lived. We'd go over there with an ice chest of pop and a couple of candles, and we had our very own love nest,"
John said. "Weren't you afraid she'd get pregnant?"
"Not a bit. I used condoms for a while, then she went to a women's clinic and got an IUD. Pregnancy was not something we were willing to risk."
"And your parents never knew?"
"Nope. We kept them completely in the dark. They knew we were dating, but we did a pretty good job of making them think we were just friends. They never suspected anything."
"Wow," Steph said. "My mother is convinced that every high school boy in the world is lying awake at night trying to figure out a way to get me pregnant,"
John laughed.
"Well, that wasn't how I felt. I loved my girlfriend. I respected her. We talked about birth control before we did it the first time. There were a few girls in my high school who got pregnant, but I'm sure that most of our friends who were having sex got to graduation without making any babies. It's not difficult.
I'd love to hear you say that to my mom," Steph said.
"No, thank you," John said. "I wouldn't have said that to my parents, who sound a lot less fearful than yours. I guess it's understandable. Your mom knows how easy it is to make a mistake."
"Yeah, well, I'm 2 years older than she was when she got knocked up," Steph said.
"I think it's time for her to cut me a break."
"Agreed," John said.
All this talk about sex reminded John of what Maxine said after she talked with Steph. Maxine believed Steph was anxious to lose her virginity, and that she'd like it to be with John. He did get the sense that she was getting frustrated with her mother's restrictions, but he didn't hear anything that made him believe she was interested in John. That happened later. Steph thanked John for helping her with French, and she asked if he'd tutor her again.
Sure.
Anytime. John said.
Tomorrow?
Steph asked. That seemed sooner than necessary, but there was no reason to refuse.
I'll be here.
He said. Steph gave him such a warm smile that John couldn't help himself from kissing her hand as she left this apartment. It was a friendly gesture that wasn't forward enough to warrant any protest. Steph clearly liked it when John kissed her hand. She blushed as she walked away. That night, John picked up Ginger at her dorm and drove to the Thai restaurant he'd selected for their dinner. He picked it because there were big, comfortable booths that offered a lot of privacy, perfect for intimate conversation. John knew that women liked to talk about themselves, so he asked lots of questions, and Ginger was flattered by his interest in her. She did almost all the talking, and John did almost all the listening. She told him about her favorite bands, mentioning a new album she particularly wanted to hear.
It sounds nice. Would you like to hear it tonight?
John asked. He offered to download the album and play it for her as they shared a cocktail at his apartment after dinner. Music and cocktails sounded very appealing to Ginger. It sounded like the kind of date adults enjoyed. She thought it was a sweet gesture for John to offer to get the album she wanted to hear. He was so poised, well-mannered, and mature. The evening felt nothing like the dates she'd had in high school. John turned down the lights in his apartment.
If you'd like more light, just let me know.
He said.
This is the way I like listening to music.
I like it this way too. Ginger said. They sipped on their drinks as the music played. Ginger wanted John to kiss her, and she tried to figure out a way to let him know. He sat close to her, but made no move to put his arm around her shoulder or go in for a kiss. He was being a gentleman, and Ginger knew it was up to her to let him know it was okay to stop being so gentlemanly. She decided the truth was best.
John, would you kiss me?
She asked. He smiled, pulled her to him, and gave her a gentle kiss on the lips. It wasn't the kind of deep, passionate kiss Ginger wanted, but it was a good start. He kissed her again, a little more passionately this time. Their third kiss was exactly what she wanted. They made out for a long time. John touched and kissed all over her face, neck and shoulders. He decided he wouldn't touch her breasts unless she gave him an unmistakable sign that she wanted that. Ginger definitely wanted it. She realized that John needed her to let him know, so she took his hand and placed it on one breast. She took in a deep breath when he squeezed her gently. John caressed one breast, then the other, kissing Ginger all the while. She realized she was getting wet, and there was nothing she could do about it. She'd already gone farther than she'd expected to go.
I hope you don't think I'm going too far on our first date, Ginger said. Ginger, this isn't a normal first date,
John said.
We've known each other for months. You've shared a lot about yourself. In class, you've heard me talk about all kinds of things, including lots of personal things about my life. People go out on dates to learn about each other. We already know a lot about each other. We aren't rushing things one bit.
She hadn't thought about it that way. It was true. They did know more about each other than lots of couples starting new relationships.
Do you think it's too soon for you to take me to bed?
She asked. John kissed her passionately.
I think it's the perfect time,
he said. When they got to the bedroom, John gently helped Ginger out of her clothes. Soon she was completely naked, and he was completely clothed. He laid her down on the bed, then began removing his own clothing while she watched. Ginger had seen a couple of naked boys in high school. Neither of them possessed the mature, muscular physique John had developed from years in the gym. He was hard by the time he removed his briefs. He got a condom from the top drawer of his bedside table, opened it, and put it on so she could see he'd take no chances on getting her pregnant. He slid next to her in bed, put his hands on both sides of her face, and gave her a kiss that was deeper and longer than any they'd shared so far. Ginger loved the feel of John's hands as they roamed all over her body. Boys had pawed her breasts. John confidently caressed her. He pulled Ginger to him so she could feel his skin touching hers all the way down to her knees. His erection pressed into her lower belly. He ran his hands over her bottom. He spent a lot of time touching her bottom. None of the boys she dated had paid nearly enough attention to that erogenous part of her body. John wanted to seize Ginger's body and ravage her, but that wasn't going to happen. This was the first time they would make love, and there would be plenty of opportunities for rougher, more aggressive sex in the future. He didn't know how much experience Ginger had with sex, so he wanted their first time to be gentle, loving, and sensuous. His hands moved down her belly and came to rest on her smooth, bare mound. She'd shaved that morning while preparing for their date. At the time, she thought she was being silly, shaving a part of her body she didn't plan to reveal. Now, Ginger was glad she'd taken the time to get rid of her pubic hair for John. He gently pulled one leg aside and ran his hand up and down her inner thigh. It made her pussy feel hot and wet, like an itch that needed scratched. He touched her other inner thigh, then finally began running his fingers next to her pussy. He touched outside her lips, never slipping inside. Ginger was about to ask him to touch her there when she finally felt one finger dip gently into her open, wet slit.
Oh,
she said, relieved to finally feel his touch. John was trying to make her feel safe and aroused at the same time. It seemed to be working. He dipped one finger just slightly inside her. She reacted as though that gentle touch was an electric shock. She began breathing deeply, almost panting, as his fingers worked up and down the most sensitive part of her body.
She almost came when his thumb began gently massaging her clit. Ginger hadn't had any sex for a long time. The sex she'd had in high school was hurried, clumsy, and took place in the back seats of boys' cars. The last time it happened was more than 6 months ago. This was a whole new world of eroticism. She felt she should do something for John instead of just lying there and enjoying his touch. But John seemed so firmly in control that she could do nothing but let him do whatever he wished. He kept stroking her clit, going faster and pressing harder as the seconds passed. John wanted to make her come before he even entered her. It took a little effort, but it worked. Ginger shouted loudly as the orgasm rippled through her body. By now she was so wet that John's entire hand was slippery. She was ready for more. Ginger wanted John's cock inside her. John saw her spread her legs wider as she looked in his eyes with an expectant expression. He saw that she'd waited enough. He climbed on her gently, placed his cock at the entrance of her pussy, then began kissing her passionately. She made little whimpering noises that let John know she was getting desperate for more. He pushed his cock inside her in one smooth stroke.
"John," Ginger said. She hadn't had a cock in her pussy for months, and she'd almost forgotten how good it felt. John moved in and out as gently and carefully as he could. Ginger made it clear that she loved what he was doing. She raised her hips to meet every thrust. It felt so good and was so exciting that she realized she was about to climax again. Ginger had never come twice during sex. The boys in high school hadn't given her nearly enough foreplay, and they never lasted very long. John was working on her in a steady, relaxed way that made it seem he could go on forever. She sighed in pleasure. Ginger began to come for the second time, and John kept moving so her orgasm lasted as long as possible.
"You feel so good," she whispered.
This was why John liked freshman girls so much. Their sexual experience was limited, and John could help them feel like women in bed. That's exactly how Ginger felt. She'd known sex with boys, but John was a man, and the difference was wonderful. By this time John needed to come. It was getting hard to hold himself back. He started pounding into Ginger more forcefully, enjoying how it felt to be inside a hot, wet, tight pussy of a girl he was loving for the very first time. He kept thrusting into her as he came, letting himself savor the feeling as his cock throbbed over and over. Ginger liked the sensation so much she almost came again. John stopped moving, relaxed, and felt his cock go soft and slip wetly from inside her. He got off her body and laid down beside Ginger. She rolled over on her side and ran her hands all over his chest.
"You were wonderful," she said.
"You were wonderful," John replied. Everything had gone as well as it possibly could. Ginger was a great girl. She was smart, funny, beautiful, and she was crazy about John. He enjoyed spending time with her. She was so sexy, and so hot for him, that she'd gone to bed with him on their first date. She was responsive to his touch, and was obviously pleased at what happened the first time they had sex. John wanted to spend a lot more time with her in the months ahead.
"It would be very nice if you spent the night," John said.
He didn't want it to end. He wanted to sleep through the night with her soft, sexy body entwined with his.
"I love that,"
Ginger said. The next morning John fixed smoothies for breakfast, served Ginger in bed, then made love again. They set a time for their next date, and Ginger looked like the happiest girl in the world when he drove her to his dorm. When she was about to get out of his car, Ginger kissed him passionately and said,
"I knew you'd be this nice. I just knew it."
It was back to his morning routine. John cleaned up his apartment and changed the bed. His first date with Marcia was that night. With a little luck, they'd make love, and he wanted fresh sheets if that happened. He always got a special thrill anytime he got to have sex with more than one woman in the same day. He'd been with Ginger that morning, and there was a good chance he'd have Marcia that evening. They were both such beautiful, sexy girls that he hoped he'd be making love with both of them regularly. He went to the gym, then spent an hour doing schoolwork, then remembered that Steph said she'd come over for more tutoring. Why did he keep encouraging her? His interest in a high school girl seemed crazy, even if she was legally an adult. She was stunning, and he liked her, but he imagined that there would be a world of complications if he acted on this attraction. He thought it had something to do with what Maxine said about Steph being a virgin who decided it was time to change that. It was absolutely true that the boys she knew in high school weren't likely to give her the gentle, respectful, satisfying treatment she deserved. She seemed sensible enough to use birth control, but John knew that teenagers made mistakes when they got caught up in a passionate moment. He liked Steph, and he didn't want that to happen to her. John decided that he would be friendly and supportive of Steph, but that he wouldn't have sex with her. It felt wrong. When she knocked, John opened his door and saw her smiling and happy to see him again. It was flattering to be viewed that way by someone so nice and innocent.
"How was class today?"
John said.
"I got an A on my French test," she said. "I did exactly what you said, and it worked."
"Glad to hear that,"
John said. If he couldn't have a romantic relationship with Steph, at least he could be a friend who gave her help and support. She put her textbook on John's table, sat down, and began telling him about the test. It was exactly what he'd expected.
"It would be awesome if I got an A for the semester," she said. "That would guarantee I get my scholarship. I'm sure you can do it,"
John said. As they talked, John saw that Steph seemed nervous. She avoided eye contact with him. He couldn't think of a reason for her to be anxious, but he imagined that it was nothing serious, and that it would be over soon.
"Before we get started, I'd like a soda,"
John said.
"Can I get you something? Water?"
John got up from the chair, went to the kitchen, and opened the refrigerator.
He was removing a bottle of water and a can of soda when he heard a noise. Steph was standing right behind him. He turned around and saw that she was topless. Steph looked like a goddess. John had seen a lot of beautiful women, but he'd never seen anyone more beautiful than the girl standing before him at that magic moment. She stepped into his embrace and hugged him to her.
"I've been thinking about you all day," she whispered. "I can't think about anything else."
It didn't matter that John had decided not to have sex with Steph. What she was doing aroused him immediately. She pressed closer when she felt his erection against her belly.
"I want you to make love to me," she said.
She kissed him. It was an awkward kiss, the kind you'd expect from a girl who hadn't done much kissing. But it was so exciting that John felt his heart pounding in his chest. This was going to happen. He led Steph to his bedroom and helped remove her shorts and panties.
"You're beautiful," he said.
Steph blushed and tried to cover herself with her hands.
"You don't need to do that,"
John told her, moving her hands aside. He removed his clothes as Steph climbed into bed. His cock was so hard it ached. Steph had never seen a man's penis before, and the sight of John's erection was a bit frightening. He got a condom, unwrapped it, and put it on.
"I promise that I will never let you get pregnant," he said.
"My mom would be happy to hear that," Steph said, grinning. It was the first thing that broke the charged, erotic mood that began the moment John turned around and saw her naked breasts. Maxine told John that Steph was a virgin. He couldn't be absolutely sure, but he wanted to be certain to go as slow and gentle as possible. She looked frightened, so he tried to reassure her with gentle kisses all over her face. By the time he kissed her lips, Steph was sure she was doing the right thing. She was with a man who was very handsome, sexy, considerate, and gentle. She wanted to give her virginity to John. He ran his hand over her cheek, down her neck, over one shoulder, and paused before touching her breast. Steph went stiff, longing to feel John touch her there. She let out a little moan when he finally caressed her breast and squeezed it gently. John looked down and saw that Steph's eyes were squeezed shut. She moaned again when he sucked her nipple between his lips and ran his hand lower, down her belly. It was agonizingly pleasurable. Thinking about what was going to happen next made her anxious for it to begin. But John was not that kind of lover. He suspected that Steph didn't really need much foreplay at that moment, but he was going to give it to her anyway. He took his time, touching every part of her body from her delicate neck to the soft, sensitive skin below her belly button. She was writhing on the bed, desperate. She wanted to take his cock in her hand, but she was afraid to touch it, so she just lay there and let John do whatever he wanted. He touched her inner thighs. They were slick and wet. She rolled her head back and forth, frustrated that it was taking him so long. His hand moved close to her pussy lips but didn't touch them.
"Oh, John," she said.
There was so much urgency in her voice that John allowed one finger to dip into her wet slit. She jerked when she felt it.
"Oh,"
she said. He ran his finger up and down. Everything was so wet. Steph was so aroused that she came a little when he finally touched her clit. He massaged that sensitive little button until she began to moan. He pushed one finger inside, and it was so tight John realized that it had to be true. She was a real virgin. She must be scared. He knew he needed to make this happen. Now, John climbed up on Steph and placed his cock at the entrance of her pussy.
"I'll be as gentle as I can,"
he said. He pushed inside her with one determined push. It was hard because she was so tight.
"Oh,"
Steph said as he ripped through her hymen. She knew it would hurt, but not this much.
"It will feel better in a moment,"
John said.
"I'm all right,"
Steph answered. John eased in and out with the tiniest movements possible. Steph's body felt tense all over. She twitched in obvious pain when John pushed all the way inside her. John had made love to only one virgin before, his high school girlfriend, Samantha, who wanted sex from John shortly after they both turned 18. Sam had a moment of pain, but it wasn't as bad as what Steph was feeling. He didn't know how to make it better. He was being as gentle as he could, and she was still in pain.
"Keep going,"
Steph said, realizing that John was afraid of hurting her. She made little grimacing noises as he moved in and out, but the pain wasn't as sharp. John finally felt her begin to relax and start breathing regularly again. He hadn't expected it would be this hard, and he worried that he'd done something wrong. Neither one of them did anything wrong. Steph's body was unique, so her experience losing her virginity was unique. She had an especially strong hymen, but the pain wasn't bad enough to stop her from enjoying what was finally happening. It started to feel good. She started to like it. John could sense the change in Steph, and he began moving a little faster. Steph wrapped her arms around John's back and made little sounds of contentment. This was wonderful. She'd expected sex would be great, but this exceeded everything she'd ever imagined. John's cock felt so good inside her. The pain was almost gone now, and her pleasure was growing. She liked the weight of his body on top of her. She liked the secure feeling of being wrapped tightly in his arms. Steph's excitement grew so fast she was surprised when she felt herself come. It was so strong that she cried out. John thought it was a cry of joy. He hoped it was. The excitement of being with an innocent girl like Steph was more than John could stand. He began to come, too. Steph's orgasm was barely over before she felt John's cock throbbing inside her. He pushed into her again and again as his own climax made him lose control. John thought he'd done a good job making sure Steph's first experience with a man was as good as she deserved. John was nervous about being in bed with a high school girl, but he hoped things would work out in a way that it happened again. Maxine was right. Steph was over the age of consent. She made a reasonable decision in a reasonable way.
John had been welcoming, but he hadn't coerced her into bed. He remembered how beautiful she looked standing there topless, letting him know exactly what she wanted. John wanted to be careful about birth control, so he reached down and wrapped his fingers around the base of his cock, holding the condom in place as he withdrew.
"Thank you,"
Steph said when John laid down next to her. John said nothing. For once, he didn't know what to say. He'd known that there was a mutual attraction between them, but he'd sincerely believed they wouldn't act on it. He held her beautiful face in his hands and kissed her everywhere. Her forehead. Eyelids. Cheeks. Chin. He felt overpowering passion by the time he kissed her lips. They talked for a long time. Steph said her mother worked a shift that kept her away from home until the early evening. Steph was on her own every day after school.
"I hope this won't be a one-time thing,"
she said.
"It won't be.
This was wonderful. I want to see you again and again and again," John said.
"It sounds like I'll be getting an A on my next French test,"
Steph said.
"And the one after that.
And the one after that," John said. Steph needed to get back early enough that her mother didn't notice her daughter spent the afternoon away from home.
"I need you to keep this secret,"
Steph said.
"I can't let my mother know. She'd go crazy."
"I understand,"
John said.
"When I was in high school, I thought the world would end if my parents knew I was having sex."
John offered to drive her home, but Steph declined. It was just a few blocks away, and she didn't want her neighbors to see her arrive in a stranger's car.
"I'd like to come back tomorrow,"
she said.
"I'm glad,"
John said. After Steph left, John sat quietly and reflected on what had happened. He'd started a romance with a high school girl. Steph was about the same age as some of the college freshmen John liked to date, but there's a big difference between high school and college. He was sure Steph's mother would think he was too old for her. What mattered was that John thought there was a big difference. He hadn't been with a girl so innocent and vulnerable since he'd been a teenager himself. He wanted an ongoing relationship with Steph. Maxine had been right. John did a fine job of helping Steph lose her virginity in the safest and most satisfying way possible. Now, it was clear that she wanted a lot more from John, and he wanted to give it to her. That's what John was thinking when he remembered that he had a date with Marcia in a few hours. He made love with Ginger that morning, taken Steph's virginity that afternoon, and had a very good chance of getting Marcia in bed that night. He deliberately timed things so he had a chance of having sex with two beautiful girls on the same day. He always loved making that happen. He hadn't thought about the possibility of three, but that's the way things seemed to be unfolding. John changed the sheets on his bed again, noticing a tiny drop of blood from the moment Steph lost her chastity. He showered off so he didn't smell like sex, then looked around his apartment for any signs that women had been there. Satisfied that there was nothing to make Marcia suspicious, John put on some nice clothes and put a bottle of vodka in the refrigerator. He'd taken care to learn that vodka was Marcia's drink of choice. Making sure it was chilled was a gesture she'd appreciate when it came time to give her a cocktail. Marcia had a nice time on their date. She agreed to come back to John's apartment for a cocktail afterward, but she didn't expect to have sex on the first date. She finished her cocktail, had a second one, and felt so good that she decided there was no reason to delay making love with John. When he asked her out, she'd been excited by the idea of dating him. She expected he would be just as manly, mature, and sophisticated as he'd been in class. That's exactly how he behaved on their first date. She'd hoped things would develop in a way that ended up with him being her lover. With the help of two cocktails, she decided that she didn't want to wait. She knew enough about John. They began making out, and Marcia acted in a way that let John know she wanted more. He took her to bed and gave her the best sexual experience of her life. It wasn't that hard. Like most of the girls John took to bed, Marcia had only had sex with high school boys who didn't know how to treat a woman. She spent the night, made love with John again the next morning, and made plans for their next date before he drove her back to her dorm. Three wonderful women in one day. One was a virgin. Amazing. John realized that Steph was coming back that afternoon. He decided he'd better buy another set of sheets.
Chapter 3.
John and Stephanie met most afternoons on the pretext that John would tutor her in French. He did sometimes help Stephanie with her lessons, but most of their time was spent making love. She was a virgin when they met, but shedding her virginity triggered a sexual awakening that transformed her entire life. He wrapped her in his arms every afternoon when she visited, and they were in bed minutes later. John had expected that Stephanie would be a nice addition to his sex life, which consisted mainly of encounters he had with students from the university where he was a graduate teaching assistant. And he did spend many evenings and weekends with those college girls. But Stephanie walked by John's apartment when she walked home every day after high school. When she knocked on his door, John's heart always began to race. John quickly realized that she was more important to him than any of the other girls he dated. Maybe it was because Stephanie chose to give her virginity to John, and he felt responsible for making sure her introduction to romance was as positive as possible. Or maybe he simply liked her more. After making love, they tended to have long, intimate conversations about life, and John found himself becoming more attracted to Stephanie as they became better acquainted. It was about a week after their first liaison that John planned a surprise for Stephanie. She knocked on the door as usual, and he greeted her with a deep, soulful kiss. They went to the bedroom immediately, not saying a word. There would be time for conversation later. Stephanie loved the confident, commanding manner John displayed as he removed her clothes. She loved the moment when she was finally naked and on display. She loved the feeling of his eyes gazing at every part of her body. She loved laying on the bed and watching as he removed his own clothes.
She particularly loved the moment when she got her first look at his hard cock. They were becoming familiar with each other's bodies, and Stephanie knew exactly how good it would feel when she felt that cock inside her. He put on a condom, then laid down on the bed next to Stephanie. He kissed her face and lips and used one hand to roam over her flat belly. As always, Stephanie felt herself becoming wet between her legs. It was part of a wonderful afternoon routine. She didn't know that John was going to change the routine today. He'd restricted their lovemaking to the missionary position because he thought that was the best way to introduce a virgin to sex, but he felt it was time to show her something new. John kissed his way down Stephanie's neck and breasts as usual, but then continued moving south as he kissed her soft belly. Stephanie had no idea what was going to happen until John spread her legs and laid down between them. His face approached her pussy, and Stephanie realized that John was about to go down on her. She'd heard about cunnilingus, but didn't know that most couples engaged in it. As far as she knew, sex consisted almost entirely of couples engaging in endless sessions of missionary sex. John was about to teach her the truth.
"What are you doing?"
she moaned. John didn't answer. Instead, he kissed Stephanie's inner thighs, moving closer and closer to her pussy. She felt his warm breath on her vulva and realized he was going to kiss her there. It was a bit scary. She realized that John was inhaling her feminine fragrance. He'd already told her that he loved the way she smelled. He was about to make it clear that he liked her taste. He licked up and down her outer lips, causing Stephanie to writhe in anticipation. He finally ran his tongue from the bottom to the top of her inner slit, pausing long enough to suck her clit between his lips and flick it repeatedly with his tongue.
"John," she said as the intense wave of pleasure rippled through her. It felt so good it almost hurt.
John licked her warm, wet flesh again and again, finally sticking his tongue as far inside her as possible. That's when Stephanie climaxed. She'd had no idea that John was going to do any of this, and she wasn't prepared for the pleasure it gave her. John watched the contractions of Stephanie's vaginal muscles, waiting for the throbbing to subside before resuming his efforts. Stephanie didn't know what to think. She wanted John inside her. But she also wanted him to continue licking, sucking and nibbling the most sensitive part of her body. He waited for a moment, giving her time to relax, then began licking her again. It was glorious. Stephanie began to get excited very quickly, and she realized that it wouldn't take long for John to make her climax again. But that's not what happened. Instead, John waited until Stephanie was on the edge, then he backed away and began kissing her belly, her breasts, her neck, and finally her lips. His face was still covered with her juices, so it let Stephanie know how she tasted to John. It thrilled her that John was so fond of her taste and smell. John was careful to make sure Stephanie understood that's how he felt. He knew that some men were squeamish about eating pussy, and that women sometimes worried there was some problem with their hygiene. John wanted Stephanie to know there was nothing wrong with her wonderful, delicious pussy. He put his cock at her entrance and pushed inside slowly, moving in, withdrawing, then going in a tiny bit more. Since Stephanie was very close to having an orgasm, she wanted his whole cock, and she wanted it now. This teasing was driving her crazy, but it was also making her even more excited. John finally pushed all the way inside her, and Stephanie came again. The contractions in her pussy were so strong it was almost like pulling a muscle. Stephanie felt that John knew exactly how to make her feel good. She didn't realize that many girls gave their virginity to boys who didn't understand how to satisfy women. Still, she knew she was lucky to be with John. He was so much more mature than the boys at school. He was the first thing she thought about every morning and the last thing she thought about at night. She got excited as she approached his apartment and knew they'd be making love soon. After Stephanie's climax, John allowed himself to come. He thought her introduction to oral sex went perfectly. He planned to eat her pussy often in the weeks ahead. They lay next to each other afterward, letting their hands roam over each other's bodies.
"You always make me feel so good,"
she said to John. She realized her mother would be upset if she knew Stephanie was having sex with an older man, so she intended to keep this part of her life secret from everyone. She wanted to tell her friends at school, but she knew they'd gossip about it. Word might somehow get back to her mother. This was an important secret, and she knew that the way to keep a secret is simple: don't tell anyone. Don't pretend you can tell someone if they promise to keep it secret, because that never works. Over the next few weeks, John regularly went down on Stephanie, and it wasn't long before she understood that this was a normal part of the sex life of an adult. She felt like a grown-up when John ate her pussy. She realized that she should probably return the favor and suck John's cock, but the idea made her nervous, and John never asked for that, so she tried not to think about it. But John was thinking. He was enjoying being with a girl who'd been a virgin when they met. He put a lot of effort into making sure she had a satisfying experience every single time they went to bed, and he liked the way it made him feel when he introduced Stephanie to something new. He'd been thrilled by her enthusiastic response the first time he ate her pussy. It made him ask himself what other things he could teach her. It felt like taking her virginity over and over, one piece at a time.
"I'd like you to play a game with me," he said one afternoon.
By this time, Stephanie was crazy about John, and she was willing to do whatever he wanted. John produced a length of pink silk rope. He looped it through his bed's headboard, then tied it to Stephanie's wrists.
"I want you to pretend I'm holding you captive. Pretend you don't want to have sex with me, but you can't stop me from doing whatever I want. Beg me to stop, and pretend that you don't like what I'm doing."
With that, John moved down between Stephanie's legs and began to eat her pussy.
"I'm going to eat your pussy as long as I want, girlie, and you can't stop me,"
John said.
"Please don't. I don't want you to do that,"
Stephanie said. She immediately understood how much fun this game could be.
It was easy to pretend John was an older, predatory man. She squirmed around as he licked her pussy and nibbled her clit.
Stop. Stop. Please stop. She said.
In truth, she didn't want him to stop at all, but pretending she was his captive made everything more exciting. John went on, and on, and on, and eventually Stephanie climaxed.
Don't pretend you don't like this, he said to her. You wouldn't come so hard if you didn't like it.
He climbed up her body and put his cock at the opening to her pussy. Stephanie acted like she was alarmed.
No. Don't do that. I'm a virgin, she said.
Say goodbye to your virginity, girlie, because I'm going to take it, John said. He was gratified with the speed with which Stephanie got into the spirit of the game. He hoped to teach her how much fun bondage could be. The first lesson was going very well. Stephanie struggled against the bindings, but John had tied them well.
You aren't going anywhere until I'm finished with you, he told her.
John thrust his cock inside her with one strong stroke, pretending he was breaking through her hymen. Stephanie found it very easy to remember what it was like the first time they made love. It was exciting to pretend John was forcing himself on her. She realized that they were creating a rape fantasy, and that although actual rape repulsed her, pretending she was being raped was a wicked pleasure. John moved in and out just a few times before Stephanie had her orgasm. This was a big one. She tugged on her bindings and kicked her legs as all the muscles in her body clenched, unclenched, then clenched again.
Ah!
She wailed. Her reaction made John feel like a real stud. It made him proud to see how well he could satisfy Stephanie. Teaching her to like bondage was a joy. Over the next few weeks, John and Stephanie enjoyed playing a bondage game where he had Stephanie express her feelings by saying the opposite of what she felt.
Stop!
Meant.
Don't stop. You're hurting me.
Meant.
That feels good. Not so hard.
Meant.
Harder.
John eventually decided it was time to introduce Stephanie to spanking. First, he told her to act like she was a naughty little girl who needed to be punished.
I'm sorry, Mr. John, she said one afternoon. I've been a bad girl. What did you do this time?
John said, trying his best to sound angry.
I touched myself again. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I was thinking about seeing you today, and it made me so hot I just had to play with myself. Don't you know that I'm the only one allowed to touch you there?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I won't do it again. You always say that. It's not good enough. Get over here.
John grabbed Stephanie by the wrist and pulled her across his lap.
Please don't spank me, Stephanie begged. I can't stand that. You should have thought of that before you played with yourself.
John said that he lifted Stephanie's skirt above her waist, exposing her beautiful bottom, which was covered by a big pair of white cotton, granny, panties. He roughly pulled the panties down to her knees. Knowing that John was looking at her bare ass gave Stephanie a thrill. She knew he'd seen every inch of her body many times, but there was something taboo in what he was doing. Being stretched across his lap like a naughty girl, her bare bottom on display, was especially exciting. John slapped one cheek of her ass. He hit her hard enough to make it sting. John did it again to her other cheek. He did it again and again, pausing long enough to give Stephanie time to anticipate each slap.
Stop! Please stop!
Stephanie said, waving her bottom back and forth in a move that pretended to be her trying to get away. But she didn't want to get away. She didn't want him to stop. She wanted more. It was delicious to think of John as some kind of angry, dominant man determined to spank her ass until she couldn't sit down. She knew that soon John would strip off her clothes, throw her down on the bed, and force himself on her. It was all just a game, but it was a delicious game.
Please! It hurts! Please stop hurting me! Stephanie said.
In truth, it did hurt a tiny bit. John was teaching Stephanie that sometimes a little bit of pain made sex sweeter. He knew how hard to slap her without ruining their fun. Stephanie began pretending to cry.
You're mean, she told him.
That was their code. That's what Stephanie said to let John know that she'd had enough spanking, and now she was ready for his cock. He pulled her off his lap and ordered her to stand up.
Get out of these clothes,
he said, having her lift her hands over her head so he could remove her sweater. He told her to unhook and remove her bra as he unzipped her skirt and lowered her panties to the floor.
Get on that bed, he said.
He grabbed her by her shoulders and pushed her onto her back. John stripped off his own clothes, put on a condom, and roughly spread Stephanie's legs.
Is this what you wanted? Is this what made you play with yourself?
He asked.
Yes, sir, Stephanie said. This is what I wanted. I can't help it. I want it so much.
Well, you're about to get it, John said.
I hope you're happy.
Yes, sir.
I'm happy. Give it to me.
By now the whole room smelled like hot, wet pussy. Both John and Stephanie were a little crazy with lust, and neither one of them had any interest in more foreplay. John roughly thrust his cock into her pussy, pounding all the way inside in one hard push. He pulled out quickly, then slammed into her again. Stephanie was so excited that she climaxed immediately, but John didn't seem to notice. He kept pounding her pussy like a jackhammer, acting as though he didn't care if she liked it or not. But Stephanie definitely liked it when John acted rough. Each powerful thrust sent another wave of pleasure through her body. John was getting excited by now, and he wasn't sure he could last long enough to make Stephanie have another orgasm.
You're such a dirty little girl, John whispered in her ear. You just love cock, don't you?
Yes, sir, she said.
I love cock. It feels so good.
John did his best to prolong things,
but it wasn't easy. He was ready to come. John finally realized there was nothing he could do to delay his orgasm, so he relaxed and let it happen. Stephanie felt John's cock begin to throb as he slammed inside her one last time. She could feel load after load of his cum filling up the condom. It was so exciting that it gave her the final bit of stimulation needed to have one more climax. It was a small one, much weaker than the last, but it felt good anyway. The next afternoon, Stephanie came to John's apartment with an especially big smile on her face.
"I've got a surprise for you," she said. Stephanie explained that she'd made a trip to a women's clinic that provided free medical care, and that she'd gotten an IUD.
"We don't have to use those damn condoms anymore," she said.
"Baby, that's great.
Thank you," John said. He planned to talk to Stephanie about finding a better form of birth control than condoms. The college girls he took to bed were on the pill, used IUDs, or some other form of birth control. It was nice that Stephanie took the initiative to handle the issue on her own. That afternoon, she discovered how nice it felt having sex without a condom. It made her wish she'd gone to the clinic earlier. John never stopped thinking about ways to expand Stephanie's sexual horizons, always trying to imagine what she'd like to do next. He thought it was past time for Stephanie to give him a blowjob, but she hadn't tried it, and he was reluctant to push her. His feeling was that if he continued to eat her pussy enthusiastically, she would eventually realize that it was time for her to return the favor. But the weeks passed without Stephanie making any move to suck John's cock, and he wanted her to decide to do it on her own. He was sure Stephanie would eventually realize it was something she needed to do. Since it appeared that blowjobs weren't going to happen soon, John decided that the next experience he'd give Stephanie was anal sex. He knew this needed to be handled delicately. In his experience, most girls resist the idea of trying anal sex. If they do agree to try it, they are sometimes so nervous about it they have trouble enjoying it. John's plan for handling this situation was fairly straightforward. He decided not to ask Stephanie for permission. Instead, it would be a surprise. John figured that if things went the way he planned, Stephanie wouldn't realize what was happening until after John's cock was already up her ass. John was aware of all the feminist discussion about the importance of consent, but he felt that a lot of the commentary came from people who didn't know much about sex. He couldn't imagine a woman wanting him to ask,
"May I spank your left butt cheek, dear? That was fun. May I do the right? Can I do that again?"
It was just crazy. Women liked a confident, assured man who knew how to please them without asking a lot of distracting questions. John's approach to consent was that he established a loving relationship with a woman, not trying anything unusual at first. After it became obvious that John cared for the woman and would never deliberately hurt her, he began trying increasingly edgy, kinky practices. He never asked permission to do things like bondage, spanking, or try unusual positions. He imagined that if he did something a woman didn't like, she could tell him afterward. So far, he'd never gotten any complaints from the women he'd taken to BED. In the days leading up to John finally fucking Stephanie in the ass, he made sure to spend lots of time stroking and caressing her bottom. He gently ran his hands up and down the cleft, lightly brushing her anus without trying to press inside. Stephanie got used to John paying special attention to her backside and grew to love it. It made her nervous when he stroked her anus, but it felt good, and she enjoyed the idea that she was experiencing something mildly kinky and taboo. It was wicked in a wonderful way. Stephanie had no idea that she was in store for something unusual on the day John decided to introduce her to anal love. They went to bed as usual, with John giving her lots of foreplay. But he was careful to avoid making her climax. He wanted her to be as excited as possible when he started to fuck her ass, so keeping her from coming was important. After their foreplay, John rolled Stephanie onto her side and entered her pussy from behind. He'd gotten her used to this position in the prior days. John reached around and began massaging Stephanie's clit as he slowly moved in and out of her pussy. It was a gentle, relaxed way of making love. Since John's approach to long, slow sex always made her come like a freight train, she never questioned anything he did. John could tell that Stephanie was getting more excited, and so was he. Thinking about what he was about to do brought him closer to the edge. Stephanie was acting increasingly frantic, so he decided it was time for her surprise. By this time, John's cock was thoroughly coated with Stephanie's flowing juices. John withdrew his wet cock from her pussy, took it in hand, placed it against her anus, and pushed inside. It happened so fast Stephanie had no chance to stop him before the head of his cock was lodged completely up her ass.
"John!"
Stephanie said, sounding alarmed. John ignored her, working his cock deeper as gently as possible. Stephanie trusted John, but he'd never tried anything like this before. It hurt. It didn't hurt much, but it hurt more than anything he'd tried in the past. Stephanie knew about anal sex. She knew that men did it to each other. The girls she knew at high school talked about it, and usually they said they were disgusted when their boyfriends suggested it. To Stephanie, it sounded unnatural and uncomfortable, but she could tell John was being very gentle, and there were things she liked about it. It made John's cock feel enormous. She liked feeling so full. Somehow, the small amount of pain seemed to make it more pleasurable. But the thing she liked most was the idea that John was dominating her, forcing her to do something she would have rejected if he'd asked permission. It made John seem more confident and commanding, and it made her want to obey everything he said.
"Oh, John,"
she said, lying there motionless as John kept pressing deeper inside her. Suddenly, he stopped moving, and she felt his cock begin to throb and fill her with warm wetness. She could feel everything more intensely than when John was in her pussy. The sensation of her ass being filled with his cum was thrilling in a way she'd never experienced before. It made her climax, and in a big way.
That hard, throbbing cock in her ass triggered an explosive orgasm. She screamed. She screamed again. It was the strongest orgasm she'd ever had, but the biggest difference was that it was a new kind of orgasm. Because John stroked her clit, Stephanie had a vaginal orgasm that made her pussy throb. But the kinky feeling of having a big, hard cock in her ass also caused the strong muscles of her rectum to throb, too. John felt those muscles clamp down hard, pinching off the cum streaming from the end of his cock. It hurt, but it was reassuring to get such clear evidence that Stephanie was having a very powerful climax. He wanted her first experience with anal sex to be satisfying, and it seemed that he made that happen. John's orgasm wasn't over. When Stephanie finally relaxed, her butthole wasn't as tight, so John could push his cock all the way inside her ass. She made little whimpering noises as he moved in and out gently, shooting the last of his cum into her ass. When he was finished, his cock got soft and slipped wetly from her bottom. Stephanie was shocked. It was hard to believe what John had done. She never made an effort to tell him to stop, but she knew she would have said no if she'd known in advance. Her bottom ached from the punishment of John shoving his big, hard cock up her tiny little asshole. As John's lover, Stephanie felt it was her job to satisfy John. If he wanted to do something edgy, she wanted to let him. Repeatedly, John had forced her to do things that she wouldn't have imagined she'd enjoy. In each case, she'd learned that she actually enjoyed it when he performed sex acts that went beyond what she'd imagined was normal, and that was true of what John had just done. They both knew Stephanie had a bigger, stronger orgasm than ever before. It was so powerful it was a little bit scary. At times, Stephanie had worried that John might injure her. Now that it was over, Stephanie realized that she wasn't hurt, but there was a lingering ache. It hurt a lot more than the stinging sensation she felt when he spanked her. Stephanie was trembling when she rolled over and looked John in the face. She reached out to him, and he took her in his arms. He was dying to know what she thought about the experience, but he was careful not to ask. He'd let her tell him what she wanted him to know, and she'd say it the way she wanted to tell him.
"John, how do you know? How did you know I'd like that?" she asked.
He said nothing, imagining that Stephanie wasn't finished sharing her feelings.
"I never thought I'd enjoy that," she said. "My girlfriends at school all say terrible things about it. I never thought you'd do something like that to me. I hope it was okay," John said. "I hope you liked it."
Stephanie was quiet.
"I did like it," she said at last. "It's just a shock."
He held her in his arms and waited for her to finish what she had to say.
"You keep doing things I don't expect. I didn't expect it the first time you ate my pussy. I didn't expect it when you tied me to the bed. I didn't expect it when you spanked me. I sure didn't expect you to fuck my ass. God, it's hard to even say those words."
He held her closer.
"John, how do you know I'll like these things? The girls I know at school hate them. Am I some kind of freak? I'll tell you exactly what you are,"
John said.
"You are a very sexy, responsive, loving woman. You are inspiring. You inspire me to look for new ways to make you happy. To satisfy you in bed. You make me want to be a great lover for you. Every time I've tried something new, I've expected you to enjoy it because it's obvious that you have a wonderful, powerful sexuality.
Do you remember the first time we made love? You surprised me by taking off your top and sneaking up behind me. That was a very bold move by a very bold woman.
Stephanie, you are the best thing in my life. You are the best thing that's ever happened to me. I love that you are such an amazing lover."
Stephanie was so moved she began to cry. John had come very close to saying he loved her.
"I'm so glad you are the man who took my virginity," she said. "I am so lucky. That's exactly how I feel. I'm so lucky,"
John said. He held her in his arms for several minutes.
"I've often wondered what you think about all these things we do," John said. "I don't usually ask because I don't want to be invasive or to make you think I'm fishing for compliments. I've loved everything we've done, including what you just did to me,"
Stephanie said.
"I'm really surprised that I like all this stuff. Do you have any suggestions? Is there anything you'd like me to do? Is there anything you'd like to do differently?"
"I can't think of anything," Stephanie said.
"John, you have a lot more imagination than me. I can't imagine what you're going to do next."
John laughed.
"I have no idea," he said. "I guess we'll be surprised together. I was very surprised that I'd like it when you ate my pussy the first time,"
Stephanie said.
"I thought I was kind of dirty down there. I was surprised that you like the way I taste. You taste marvelous,"
John said.
"And you smell marvelous. It's exciting. I was very surprised that I'd like it when you tied me up for the first time. It still doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense that I actually enjoy not being able to use my arms. But I love pretending you're holding me against my will. What do you think about me spanking you? Am I doing that too hard?"
John said.
"No, it's not too hard," she said. "Actually, it would be alright if you spanked me a little harder. I don't know why, but I like it. A lot. Duly noted. I'll give your ass a nice hard spanking next time."
They held each other for a long time. At length, Stephanie realized that she had to go home, so she was there when her mother got off work.
"I know what I'm going to think about when I go to bed tonight," she said as she was leaving.
"Me too," John said. As she walked the 2 blocks to her home, Stephanie felt the after effects of what John had done. She liked the way it felt for her ass to be full of John's cum. Her butthole didn't hurt anymore, but there was a slight twinge she could feel every time she took a step. Her pussy was still a bit wet,
and it squished as she walked home. The sidewalk was crowded with college students walking to and from class. Stephanie looked at the coeds and wondered about their sex lives. None of these girls have a better lover than me, she thought. None of them had the kind of afternoon I just had. It made her feel good about herself. She was the girlfriend of a wonderful man who had just told her she was the best thing in his life. It was very close to saying he loved her. Stephanie had tried to avoid thinking about that. John was an older, more experienced and mature man who knew a lot more about sex than she did. He was a grad student, and she was a high school girl. When she thought about it, she had a hard time imagining that he could love her, but it was suddenly very clear that she loved John. He was kind, considerate, generous, caring. After what had just happened, it was very clear that he devoted a lot of thought to finding new ways to satisfy her in bed. He'd even done such a good job tutoring her that she now had a solid grade of A in French, the one subject that troubled her most. Of course, she loved him. How could she feel any other way? This story is continued in the next part. This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer bonus episodes for as little as $2 per month. Thank you for listening.